I'm Sasha Mayer, entrepreneur, mother, and co-founder of Mamava, the inventor of the freestanding lactation pod. My newest baby, The Bodacious Optimist, a podcast dedicated to celebrating and learning from the people who have inspired and helped me in my entrepreneurial journey. They are designers and storytellers, business leaders and activists who have challenged the status quo and thrived. Bodacious optimists believe that there are always solutions waiting to be unveiled. Hi, it's Sasha, and I'm here with my co-producer, Nikki Mako. Who are we talking to today?
We are talking to Claire Kolder, and I'm super excited for this one. When we were looking at guest lists, Claire topped both of ours. She is bodacious and optimistic, no matter how you define those two words.
She's like the little sister entrepreneur to Mamava, I always think, because she's dealing with sort of the same things, infrastructure support, culture change.
And you're both from Ohio, you know.
I love a good Midwest girl.
Yeah, so I want to say, you know, sometimes I'll listen to a podcast and I'll be like, headphones on, this isn't for kids. This is a headphones off episode. It's for everyone. We're talking about breasts and period products, and we're going to tell you what Flow Bros and Fairy Pod Fathers are. So this is a podcast for all ears.
All right, so enjoy our interview with Claire Kolder from Aunt Flow. Claire Kolder is the founder and CEO of Aunt Flow. Founded in 2016 when Claire was just 18, Aunt Flow supplies free vend dispensers and 100% organic cotton menstrual products to businesses and schools to ensure that everyone has access to healthy, sustainable menstrual products wherever they are. Through Claire's leadership, the company has implemented free period products in more than 41,000 bathrooms and donated more than 5 million tampons and pads, and has changed the discussion around menstruation from being a taboo women's only subject to one centered on health, equity, and public policy. Welcome, Claire Kolder. You are truly a bodacious optimist.
Oh my goodness. Takes one to know one. Glad to be here.
Okay, so you were only 18 when you started Aunt Flow. Can you tell our listeners what your origin story is?
Yes. So like many founders, Aunt Flow was built on a personal experience. I was 18 years old studying at The Ohio State University, and I went to a local event, and like 86% of women, I unexpectedly started my period in public. I went to the bathroom, and at this venue, it was a local office. They offered free lunch and kayaks to float along the Olentangy River. So I was surprised to find a quarter-operated tampon and pad dispenser. Naturally, I didn't have a quarter because who carries coins? And also, I thought, wow, if toilet paper is offered at no cost, why aren't period products? That was 8 years ago when I was 18 years old. I had this wild idea and vision that no one would ever have to worry about getting their period in public. And fast forward, after dropping out of college, spending 3 to 4 years waitressing to pour the money into building the business, 2021, launching our dispensers, and now here we are today. Aunt Flow has grown to stock, as you mentioned, over 41,000 bathrooms with our dispensers in U.S., Canada, the United Kingdom, and the business model is pretty simple.
Tell us more about that business model.
Yeah, we have a patented dispenser. So business model is we have a dispenser, we sell the dispenser into businesses, schools, NFL venues, and they purchase the dispensers, and then they purchase our organic cotton tampons and pads to fit those dispensers. So we've raised $17 million from venture capital. Venture capital loves us because once we sell the dispensers one time, we make the recurring annuities off the tampons and pads that fit those dispensers. And businesses love us because they want to offer freely accessible period products in bathrooms. And in 21 states, schools are required to offer freely accessible period products in bathrooms. And they need a solution, right? You can put a basket out if you're a low traffic bathroom, but If you're an Apple retail store across North America, you can't put a basket out. Those get taken. They get knocked on the floor. They're not sanitary. They're hard to clean. They're hard to maintain. And so our dispenser solution is great for high traffic, high use bathrooms, and are widely adopted across the world.
So I know that you talk about giving voice to these uncomfortable moments. We happen to have seen you with some tampon earrings, for example, and basically bringing this problem into the light. And I know it's been a long journey. So how did you crack the code in terms of having those conversations, perhaps before some of that legislation was in place that mandates pre-period products? How did you have those conversations with those businesses or with those facilities that you needed to persuade to have Ant Flow come into their orbit?
Yeah, wow. It's been quite a journey. So started Ant Flow back in 2016. That was 8 years ago. At the time, there was no legislation. There was no policy around accessible period care in school or workplace bathrooms. We'll talk a little bit more about what that policy is today, but back then there was nothing. And growing up in Ohio, there was certainly not a lot of conversation around menstruation. Whether you're menstruating or non-menstruating, I know I learned how to use a tampon from my best girlfriend, certainly not a trusted adult. And so for me and for Ant Flow, we utilized humor, because humor embraces everybody in the conversation. And look, menstruation, there's a little giggles, you get a little uncomfortable. So I put tampons in my ears. We host period parties, which is a trademark event. We mostly sell to men because we sell to facilities managers for schools and head of operations for and head of real estate for businesses. Most of those folks don't menstruate. So we call them flow bros. And we invite everyone into the conversation, which is how I believe you make real change. You certainly don't want to isolate a population because they don't know anything. You have to invite them in and educate them over time. And that's what we've been doing for the past 8 years.
Do you have a story about winning a flow bro over maybe before they became a flow bro?
Oh my gosh, all the time. One that stands out, there is a flow bro named Jose. And Jose works at a large Fortune 500 company. And Jose was really nervous about implementing accessible period care. But a group of women at the company came to him. He was the head of operations. They were like, look, we really believe that this is important as a benefit to offer our employees. Look, we offer all these other things that are not really basic necessities. They're probably more amenities. We would love to implement free period care, which is a necessity. He was trepidatious, came on his desk. He was like, look, I don't know anything about this. They were like, no worries. We've lined up Ant Flow as a vendor. And he was like, are people really going to care? Also, are people really going to care about the quality, right? Like, he's like, look, I can go find Tampax tampons for half the price compared to Ant Flow. Are people really going to notice? But, you know, there was a group of women that all banded together and like, yes, we will. So anyways, he implements the program across their entire real estate footprint. And he emailed us 2 weeks later. And he emailed us and said, I have never been so recognized as a head of facilities, except for me implementing a period product program. He was like, I oversaw COVID and implemented HVAC updates. I oversaw a giant office repositioning to ensure that people had more access to trash cans near their desks. But nobody has ever recognized me more than implementing free period care. So thank you for helping me be recognized, which was so powerful. And so Jose is now a flow bro, but those are the conversations that we get to have as an organization, and certainly supporting folks on their mindset journey shifts as well.
I think there are so many parallels between Ant Flow and Mamava. I think of Ant Flow as kind of the little sister. Although your business is likely bigger than ours, there are a lot more menstruating people than breastfeeding people. But that same idea in the Mamava land, we call them, if they're male identified, we call them Papavas.
Love that.
Or, you know, fairy pod fathers in terms of how they have sometimes been our biggest lactivists and advocates in a way because they sort of don't meet the mold, right? It's taken some of those people to actually make that culture shift. And then they do, and I think it's like all businesses, make your customer the hero in the story. And a strong brand can certainly do that. So as a brand strategist, I've always been incredibly impressed with the brand that you have created. And I don't know how much of that is just, you know, instinct or that was in you or deliberate. And of course, AntFlow is this euphemism for getting your period. But you've also built this sort of persona, I think, Claire Coder as AntFlow, whether you like that or not, Claire. I think that's sort of there with your coral pink lipstick and your sweaters and blazers and coral pink and how you use social media. You're kind of like you're like the hip sort of Betty Crocker for period products.
I love that. The Betty Crocker for period products. Thank you, Sasha. I'm proud to be your younger sister, and I'm proud to be the Betty Crocker of period products. Thank you.
So how deliberate has your brand design been and your brand positioning in your whole process? Because, again, it is a commodity. It could have been seen as a commodity. You were shifting in terms of how people saw the design and the vending machines. Like, tell me about that process and how deliberate that was and how you even came up with AntFlow.
Totally. You know, some startups go and hire a big old branding firm and they do a trademark assessment and they design a color palette and yada, yada, yada. And before you know it, you've spent over $50,000 before you even sold an item. I did not have that luxury at 18 years old. And growing up in Ohio, I simply just wrote down all of the euphemisms that I knew for menstruation. I wanted to call it what it was, but still have an undertone of playfulness and fun. And so wrote down all of the euphemisms. I did a very quick search on the USPTO, which is the United States Patent and Trademark Office, .gov. You can do your own searches, folks. You can just search it and see if there's somebody else registered in your class. And I ran through all of my different euphemisms that I personally knew, and AntFlow is available. So I registered the trademark for $250. They've increased the fees since then over the past 8 years. and bought the domain, and I personally look better in coral than I do red. So that's how I chose coral rather than red. And I started out. We started running. There's been a few fun adventures, though, with the journey of AntFlow. One, I realized that people say it differently. Is it aunt or is it aunt? I don't know. What do you say, Sasha?
In Vermont, it's funny because I'm an Ohioan too. In Ohio, I say aunt, but in Vermont, I say aunt.
Mm-hmm. So talk about a brand dilemma. we lean into it though. It's a wide debate. Listeners can tune in and they can, you know, decide what they prefer. And then two, I thought that everybody knew the euphemism for menstruation. But now that we have gone global, that is not the case. So when I was starting, it was hard to imagine a world where AntFlow would be adopted in countries or regions outside of my local community. But now here we are in all 50 states and in Canada and the UK, and that euphemism is not widely known. But the invitingness of the hand-drawn elements of our brand, people enjoy it, it's playful, we have the bright pop of color. So we've been able to draw folks in even if they don't know the euphemism, and eventually they do learn that it's a euphemism, and it evolves from there. But it certainly was not nearly as methodical as one would think.
I think that the similarity again on taking something that is often perceived as negative, getting a visit from AntFlow and making that cheeky and optimistic and in terms of how the brand expresses itself. And we have our same idea of the Happy Breasts logo. You know, it was very deliberate that it wasn't going to be some, you know, Earth Mother type of design, but like a literal winking of a logo that shows, you know, breastfeeding happens here.
And I love that also, logo, by the way. It's a great logo.
Well, thank you. And you're also just unbelievably great at social media. Our team is often referencing AntFlow and what you're able to do. How has social media played a role? It's an interesting dynamic between the, not unlike Mamava, you have a user base, the folks that are using your purity products, just like we have the folks who use our pods. But the buyers, as you've mentioned, are these facilities people, often men, and you know, how does the social media play into it to drive the business?
Sasha, you're exactly right. Our buyers are different than our advocates. Our buyers are procurement and head of facilities who often aren't menstruating, so they're never going to use the product. So speaking to those two fundamentally different audiences is quite complicated. The benefit, though, is that those audiences hang out on different platforms. So I personally, Claire Coder, love and leverage LinkedIn. That's where our buyers are. Head of procurement, head of facilities. If you're listening and you're one of those, please follow me on LinkedIn. and we're able to speak to that storyline, right? Their storyline is, how do I implement a period product program because people are asking for it and not lose a ton of time and sleep and energy doing that? How do I reduce costs in the washroom? How do I make sure that my bathroom is ADA compliant? Those are their life challenges, and those are the stories that we speak to on LinkedIn. Whereas on Instagram and on TikTok, thank God I don't have to run that. Our team does. We have an incredible social media team. I don't personally have any idea how to even use a TikTok. But our team does, and they speak to the audience of our advocates. How to bring AntFlow to your school, how to write a letter to your legislator to get accessible period products written into law to be required to offer for schools. So two very different personas, but thankfully they hang out on two very different platforms.
How much of that in terms of the outreach or engagement with your purchasing audience is push, and how much of it is pull? Like, they're just looking for you because now they have seen the legislation. How has that worked?
Well, it's changed over 8 years. I'll say, Sasha, for 7.5 years, it was push, push, push. Nobody even understood why offering free period products in bathrooms mattered. They were like, wait, if it's free, do I get it for free? I'm like, well, don't you purchase your toilet paper? Don't you purchase your paper towels? You purchase it just like every other bathroom solution. You offer it for free to your end users, right? So there was a lot of education, and we spent 7.5 years and so much labor of love educating what this was, why it matters, demonstrating with research that by offering free period products in schools, K through 12 specifically, it increases attendance amongst girls. There was tons of research, tons of information. And now finally, Sasha, in the past 6 months, I think it's been more pull. We now have 41,000 bathrooms, including Chicago O'Hare Airport, stocked with AntFlow period products. So people are seeing our products consistently, whether they're touring a university with their daughter or they're attending their favorite gym class and they see AntFlow. There's enough brand touch points where they finally think, oh, wow, maybe I should have this at my alma mater. I wonder if my daughter's middle school has this. I wonder if my colleagues' Fortune 100 company has this. So now finally we're gathering some pull momentum, but my golly, it was a lot of pushing for 7.5 years.
Similarly, I think it probably has a lot to do now that there is stronger public policy. I believe I read that it's actually 25 states and Washington, D.C. that actually has now officially passed legislation for students who menstruate to have access to free period products. So I imagine that is a great big part of it. How has public policy advocacy played a role with AntFlow? Do you literally staff that with lobbyists? And has that been a part of it? Or is it just on the ground conversations that you have been a go-to for the idea of free period products?
Yeah. In every business, there's a little luck and there's a little skill. AntFlow is now an overnight success because after 8 years of working hard, we are lucky enough to have legislation that is passing that directly benefits our business. And my golly, I am lucky that we busted our butts for so many years, because now we are a solution that schools can really leverage. And you talked about policy, Sasha, just to dig into that a little bit more. What that policy looks like is roughly 25 states, including and Washington, D.C., either require or fund schools to offer free period products. And there's different flavors in each state. Your state could be K through 12, like Utah. Utah passed with bipartisan unanimous support, requiring K through 12 girls' bathrooms to stock freely accessible period products. Whereas the state of Ohio has legislation and funding requiring schools, grade 6 through 12, to offer free period products. Not defined in the bathroom, but it is recommended in the bathroom, and there was a budget allocated for that as well. So each state has a little bit of a different flavor. If you're interested in what your state requirements are, AntFlow does have a legislation tracker and map on our website. But because there is now legislation, there's a lot of conversation. And even states that don't have legislation, Oklahoma is a perfect example, they still see the value in implementing because of the attendance impact. We know that by offering free period products in schools, it increases attendance amongst girls. So the policy has certainly made a massive play for our business and the education of the importance of this these period products. And more is coming. The Menstrual Equity for All Act is a piece of federal legislation that has been introduced by Grace Meng of New York that now has support across the aisle that would require employers over 100 employees to offer free period products in bathrooms. That is currently moving through sessions now, and we're working to get some more support. And that's an interesting component that would be at a federal level and the most holistic piece of legislation that would be passed for accessible period care.
I think it is so similar, again, for us, you know, an overnight sensation in 10 years or what have you, and just in at the end of 2022, the Pump Act was passed, which was also a game changer for us in terms of stronger mandates for lactation accommodations. But it can also be somewhat ill-defined. And the other thing it can be is opening up a competitor type of environment that maybe didn't exist before. Have you seen that with the business?
Oh, certainly. I kind of compare it to, you know, there's two types of businesses that you can start. You can either start a business that is played on an existing game board. Let's say it's Candyland, and you add in another ice princess to the playing board. Or you can be absolutely insane like us, Sasha, and say, yeah, I see all those boards around there, but I'm going to create a brand new game that lives in a different universe. And it's maybe not even a board. It's a deck, and there's things and there's trinkets. And we made the board, right? It took 8 years to make the board. And now I have to win the game. And so now our job is beginning. And certainly folks are throwing their little trinkets on my game board, but I'm playing to win. And so, yes, there are certainly folks that are paying more attention to the category. That is flattering. And I also compare it to running a race. I ran competitively when I was growing up, and I never had a personal record or a PR when I was running on my own. I always ran faster, and I always hit my personal record when somebody was running right next to me. And that's really how I think about competition now in our landscape. I'm super pumped that I have a challenger.
We talk a lot with athletes on this podcast. So how has that sort of former athlete turned up in your entrepreneurial experience beyond that idea of now having competitors? Is there anything else where that athlete shows up?
Oh, wow. So many different flavors. And our team, we have a series of athletes across our team, and not necessarily solo competitor athletes, but did you play on a team sport? Did you play to win? Are you competitive by nature? Certainly as a former athlete, by the way, just to clarify, I wasn't a great athlete, but I played and I wanted to be better, and that hunger to be better, that competitiveness to be better, and that drive to win. That is what I really get excited about and certainly encourage our team to drive towards as well.
One of the things that I grapple with is that I am so mission oriented. And now that the world, thanks to all of the pushing and effort and identifying and design and conversation that we helped start, has come around to doing better around lactation accommodations, I feel that that mission is very close to accomplished, right? And staying hungry to fuel the business side of things is an interesting conundrum. And part of me is really fine with that. And there's the other part that is also that hungry entrepreneur that wants to, you know, continue to be the best, continue to have financial success for the company and for our investors, for example. Is that a tension that you feel, or is it always about like wanting to be the winner in the end versus just having brought this problem to the forefront?
Well, going back to the game philosophy, right? I certainly want to be known for creating the new game, and I also want to be known for winning it. You know, Sasha, I do want to be like you when I grow up so that we are so ubiquitous that, you know, the market is not only created, but also I see a Mamava lactation pod in every single airport that I go to. And every founder knows you're always in an airport. Basically, that's our primary residence. We're not there yet as a company. In the United States alone, there are roughly 10 million female commercial bathrooms in the United States, and we're in 41,000 of them. So we are so far away from winning, and I love it, and I am so excited about it. And there's so much opportunity for our company to be growing and solving this need. My hope and dream for the world is that period care is just as ubiquitous in bathrooms as toilet paper and soap and paper towels and Mamava lactation pods are. I will hope that no one ever has to worry about getting their period in public because AntFlow period products are in the bathrooms. That's what we're driving towards, and I certainly think that we have a long way to go.
I think that is such an amazing mindset shift. If you wouldn't have that anxious anticipation, if you weren't concerned about ever being in those conditions of not having period products accessible, imagine like living in that world, or imagine like not having to navigate a world where you were concerned about where you were going to use your breast pump. I think that's an amazing aspiration.
And it doesn't seem unreasonable, Sasha, right? Like today we don't worry about toilet paper in the bathrooms, right? We don't worry that there's going to be soap when we wash our hands. Like we believe that to be true. So I'm so excited for the world when we finally win our game, Sasha, that no one ever has to worry about lactation rooms, and no one ever has to worry about accessible period care. We're going to make that happen.
So it's a good segue to my question. You know, what are you bodaciously optimistic about?
Oh my gosh. What am I bodaciously optimistic about? I'm optimistic that with AntFlow, we can redesign the washroom through the lens of a female. So today, AntFlow is known for accessible tampons and pads. But that's not the only thing that needs to be improved in a bathroom outside of the home, right? Like you go into the bathroom today as a person who menstruates and you're like, what is this disposal bin? It's metal. It's nasty. I have to lift it up with my hand. I have a dripping period product. Okay, fine. I'm just going to throw it down the toilet. And then as a facilities manager, you're like, whoa, I have like $1 billion every year of backed up toilets because of period care, right? It doesn't have to be that way. So I am bodaciously optimistic that we can rewrite the script for bathrooms outside the home and reimagine them through the lens of a female. And we're going to make that happen with AntFlow.
I love it. This idea of design objects, I think about this idea of interrogative design. So that is about making things not only for solving problems, but also asking questions, or even better, starting conversations. And you're right, there are so many places that disruptive design, that interrogative design can change the conversation. And having that founders, that entrepreneurs, that designer lens to look at all those things, because so much of our world has not been designed by people who lactate or menstruate or, you know, move through the world from that female perspective.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
And the question is, like, does it have to be the way it's always been? I think as people with periods or menstruators, women generally, we have put up with so much, Sasha. We've just dealt with it. But the question where real innovation comes to be is, does it have to be the way it's always been? And the answer is probably no. Like, just because humanity has moved forward because women kept carrying quarters in their pockets and that was fine and that was the way it was, it doesn't mean that's the way that it has to keep being. So that's really what I'm excited about for our next wave of entrepreneurship. And as there's more conversation around diversity in entrepreneurship, we can all make the world a little bit better by asking the question, does it have to be the way it's always been?
Yeah, who is the world designed for and by? So what is the one piece of advice that either you have been given or that you would give from an entrepreneurial perspective that you either go back to all the time, you share with other entrepreneurs, or that you just keep close to your heart to keep going?
Ooh. My most recent mantra that I am operating off of is be fucking better. And what I mean by that is in the conversation right now around women in venture capital and women in business is, you know, I'm sure you've heard the line, only 2% of venture capital has gone to women, which is true. It's a factually accurate statement. And also, we need to be better. I know that I have to build a business that grows 6 times faster with 20% less employees and 30% less capital. And I will do that and be fucking better. I'm going to be better than my peers. I'm going to be better than my male counterparts. I'm going to be better than my competition. And we're going to keep driving every single day to be fucking better. And that's what I'm driving towards. And that's the mantra that I'm currently living by as we speak.
You've achieved so much in your young age. What are you most proud of in terms of what you've achieved so far? It can be professional or it can be personal.
Wow. What am I most proud of? I am most proud of the moments where I walk into a bathroom and I find Aunt Flo and I didn't realize that they were a customer. You know, like in the early days, you actually know every single customer by first name, last name, marital status, address, and everything. You know everything about them. And now we're at the phase where I can walk into bathrooms and be like, holy moly, I didn't realize they were part of the menstrual movement. Woo woo. And those are the moments that I am most proud of.
So what else do you want our listeners to know?
Oh my gosh. What else do we want our listeners to know? Well, Sasha, now that we've gotten so many people fired up about lactation and menstruation, there's a few things that folks can do for Aunt Flo. And I would love to know what for you too, Sasha, they can do. So low cost, no cost. The first thing that you can do is if you are menstruating, you can stop hiding your tampon up your sleeve when you go to the bathroom. Super low cost, no cost. And the reason that I recommend this is twofold. One, by holding your period product, just like any other product, walking to the bathroom, you remove the stigma around menstruation. You allow others to recognize that people menstruate. And two, if people become uncomfortable about that, you can simply say, oh, well, if you want me to stop carrying my period product across the office floor, perhaps you should just implement Aunt Flo period care in the office bathrooms. So two benefits of that. That's my recommendation, low cost, no cost. And if you are super pumped and excited to join the menstrual movement, there are advocacy resources on the Aunt Flo website for you to get started. Write a letter to your administration or to your facilities manager to bring period care to your bathrooms. Or if you currently have period care in your bathrooms and you're looking to upgrade the quality from whatever is currently in the products to organic cotton period care for similar rates, would certainly appreciate your advocacy.
And your website is?
Antflow.com, AuntFlow.com.
Well, Claire, it was so fun to talk to my little sister in entrepreneurship and changing the world around women's health and design for a more inclusive world. Thank you so much for joining us.
My goodness, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Bodacious Optimist. You can support the show by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To learn more about Mama Va's work making the world a more inclusive place for breastfeeding, visit mamava.com. And remember, we each have different gifts for the revolution.